half asleep when I got here, but when I got in there helping Jamal with the children this morning, it kind of woke me up a little bit. You know, I love to. That's the first time I've had a chance to work with the children back here. But that was something else. That was fun. That was fun. Seeing their little smiling faces and their energy, and hopefully some of it rubbed off on me. But if we could all stand and pray and seek the face of God this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning. We worship you today, Lord God. We love you today. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being in your house, Lord God, to feel your presence, Lord Jesus, to be touched by you, Lord God, and to touch you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you would have your way in this place, Lord God. Come into this place and have your way in our hearts and in our minds, Lord God. Lord, as hearts and minds and need a touch from you today, Lord. Jesus, have your way, Lord God. Draw us just a little bit closer to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Today's lesson is our ultimate hope. Ain't it glad to know that even in when we're in the midst of trials and tribulations and problems, whether it's in our family or whether it's on our job or whether it's in our health, that we have a living, mighty hope. Because Jesus conquered death, we can live with that hope and expectation of a wonderful future in Him and with Him. Our focus verse, actually it's two verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I don't know about you, but those words comfort me this morning. You know, I may be sick in my body, and I may not have a hope of the doctors around me being able to help me. But even if I do go out of this world, if I die in Christ, I shall live again. So our heartbreak and our agony and our all those negative feelings that we can feel, we don't have to feel them. Because we have that hope. Because Jesus is our Lord, our Savior, the one that loves us, the one that gave Himself for us. First Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 5, 2. Give the AV booth just a moment here. We had a little miscommunication. Our communication between us and the Lord is open this morning. Amen. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. You see, the world doesn't have a hope. God has placed us, placed His Spirit within us and the church within the world to be the hope for those outside the walls of this church. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so, hallelujah, shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. That tells me pretty quickly, pretty plainly, that I need to live my life in a way where I am always prepared. Friday night, we had a little mishap. Always got to be ready. Always got to be ready. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Met your boy left behind his accelerated promotions in the army to follow a cult trying to get to heaven in UFOs. The thought of riding in a UFO appealed to his youthful imagination. He had that going for him. Convinced by their explanation, Matthew went AWOL, the U.S. Department of Defense, which means a trip to Leavenworth. Making him renounce all worldly things, the group leaders made him buy a red letter edition. Soon he was reading it avidly, traveling with this group from as far as Massachusetts to the assembly, and heard Jerry Staton preaching. From not having a clue to finding the answer to it, he fed. Pastor Staton approached Matt after the service and in the conversation asked if he had. But since it was in the Bible, Matt agreed to be baptized and lay on his back speaking in tongues for over half an hour. They helped him get back to an army base and turn himself in. Just 4 days, he had been with died in a group suicide attempt. Today, Reverend, praise God. The promise of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, blessed hope also affirms the deity of Jesus. He is not only our Savior, verse 2 and 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearance. Since the marveling disciples stood, believers have continued to look heavenward, if not literally, the promise made by the two men who stood by them in white apparel, Acts 1. 10 and 11. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. His return will be the reverse of his departure. The returning one will be the same Jesus as the departing one. The one who ascended will be the one who descends. The cloud that received him from their sight of his disciples will be the cloud from which he is revealed. We do not grieve like those who have no hope. When I think about that, I think about my mom. How bad off she got with that dreaded disease, Alzheimer's. How she wasted away. How she lost memory of so many things. But it gave me hope. When I came back from a men's conference, and she couldn't even recognize me, but I seen her laying in her bed. She didn't even know I was there. But she was laying in her bed speaking in tongues. In such a hopeless situation, not having any answer. Not just me, but the best doctors in the world can't give an answer for Alzheimer's. Can't give an answer for cancer. So many things, the so-called specialists and experts aren't very expert at. But when we're down to nothing, we have a Savior. We have one that loves us, one that cares for us, one that we can lean on when we don't have no strength, one that we can turn to when we have nowhere else to turn. And He is our hope in a hopeless generation. I don't know about you, but that makes me excited. See, because I ain't perfect, and thank God I don't have to be. But I know the one who is perfect and the one that has all answers. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. Lost my place. Praise God. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We have a hope of resurrection. Satan's primary means of controlling people prior to the coming of Christ was through fear of death. When Christ defeated death by means of His ascension, Satan lost his greatest weapon. And that's not to say, I don't believe that's to say that we're never going to be have a little anxiety over dying. I'm not saying that. Or maybe have a fear of dying certain ways. But if we are in Christ, perfect love casteth out all fear. Amen. You know, even though I was airborne, I had a fear of my chute not opening and die. Crash, boom. I'll be honest about it, I'd rather be shot. Hebrews 2:15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now that Christ is risen, the sting of death and the victory of the grave are things of the past. 1 Corinthians 15:54, so when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So no matter how Satan tries to get us to fear certain things in our life, we don't have nothing to fear because death has already been won over. We've already been given victory. 1 Corinthians 15:13-22. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Because our faith is that one day we will rise too. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all of men most miserable. But now is Christ risen. Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man Jesus Christ, also the resurrection of the dead. For as Adam all die, even so in Christ shall be made alive. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 15:51-55. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. I've already read that. For those who are in Christ, the fear of death has been swallowed up in the glorious victory of Jesus Christ over death. A victory that extends to all who follow him. We have hope that those who are dead in Christ will live again. After a discussion of the resurrection of the dead and the catching up of those believers living at that time, Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. It should comfort us to know that our present experience is not final, but that it will be terminated at the glorious innumerable throng of people worshiping the Lamb on heaven's throne. One of the 24 elders identified the people. His words bring great comfort. Found in Revelation 7:13-17. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears. The New Testament says much more about the resurrection of the dead than here and there, such as Job 19:26. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to contempt. This is in harmony with Jesus only. Marvel not at this, the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil. have we all put our trust in Him. It happened to us all. And after this, the judgment. I want to be ready. He's going to come as a thief in the night. I can't live one way on Sunday morning and live a totally different way on Friday night. Now, that's not to say that I'm an open book. That's not to say I'm not a little rough around the edges. The Lord's still smoothing those out for me. But I guess that's why those officers love me to death. It's because I am a little rough around the edges. I believe in calling things like they are. I ain't worried about putting up no front for nobody. But putting my faith and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, because like what happened Friday night, I could be here 1 minute and gone the next. That ain't the first time it's ever happened that way. I've faced situations like that before. But God has always shown Himself faithful. The hope of Christ's return has not yet been fulfilled. You know, years ago, and there may still be people that believe that way, but there was a movement a few years back where people were saying, well, Jesus has already come. The resurrection's already happened. Well, that can't be so, because it says when the resurrection does happen that the Holy Ghost won't be poured out anymore. The gift of tongues will not be poured out anymore. And as we all are witness to, the Holy Ghost is still being poured out. The gift of tongues is still with us. But some have compelled to try to map out dates for fulfillment of various prophecies. Even though no man knoweth the day nor the hour. The failure to succeed should demonstrate the futility of date setting. Only God knows the timing of the events. Only God knows the timing of His events as He has foretold. With some prophecies, it may seem it would be possible to find out a starting point or do some kind of math and arrive at some kind of date of fulfillment. But we must keep in mind that God doesn't think as we think. His thoughts are much higher than ours. His ways are much higher than ours. Isaiah 55:8-9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." In other words, you think you figured me out? You ain't got a clue. We should study the prophecies of Scripture and proclaim they will be fulfilled, but it is counterproductive to attach dates to them. To do so can threaten the faith of God's people when predictions do not come to pass. Some have said Jesus has already come. In Paul's letters to the various churches, it was common for him to assess the spiritual condition of his. In these letters, he would commend the churches for their maturity, and each of these verses strengthened the churches in the area of their weakness. In his first letter to the Thessalonians, hope and love, 1 Corinthians 1:3, of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, and the church only for its faith and love. 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we are baptized that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you. You see, the reason he didn't commend his readers for their hope may be that they had been deceived into thinking the day of the Lord had already arrived. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, in the English Standard Version. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. Following this alert, Paul explained that certain things had to happen before the arrival of the day of the Lord. There are prophecies and events still yet unfulfilled. The things that must happen before the day of the Lord comes include a falling away and the revealing of the man of sin, also known as the son of perdition. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 3 and 4, the King James. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This man of sin will be in complete opposition to God, claiming that himself is God. This description of someone who will sit as God in the temple of God calls to mind a prophecy made by Daniel and quoted by Jesus. Daniel's prophecy of 70 weeks foretells the coming of the Messiah and of a prince that shall come. Daniel 9, 26 and 27. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. This prince makes a covenant, a treaty with the people of Israel. Many, Daniel 9:27, for 1 week, which within the chronology of the 70 weeks means for 7 years. This treaty permits the Jewish people to make sacrifices and offerings in the rebuilt temple. But in the midst of that week, or after 3.5 years, the prince breaks the treaty, permitting no more sacrifices, and this results in the overspreading of abominations and desolation, again found in Daniel 9:27. In his response to the disciples' questions about the destruction of the temple, the second coming, and the end of the world, Jesus referred to 4:15 and 16. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee until may have had figurative fulfillment in the days of Antioch. Ultimate fulfillment was yet to come. Of desolation would involve something or someone standing in. This connects us to Paul's warning in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3. The Lord is coming back for his people. Those who have repented of their sins, those who have had their sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb in the name of Jesus Christ. Those that are filled with His Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking with other tongues. 1 Thessalonians 4:14-17. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, in Jesus. See, coming to the altar and praying through one time and then forgetting all about it don't cut it. We got to come to this altar over and over and over and over and over again. Paul said, I'm careful while I'm teaching others and while I'm preaching to others that I don't find myself a castaway. You see, this ain't, you know, once saved, always saved. You don't find no Bible for that. But this is dying to our flesh, dying to our own selfish self-will, our own ways, our own way of doing things daily, dying to it daily. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. You see, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the sound of a trumpet, in keeping with the words of the angels who had said the same, so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Paul wrote, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. You know why we have loud church? Because we just in practice. We're practicing for the day of his return. We're practicing for that day of worship and praise. Not just so loud that this church can hear it and feel it. Not just so loud that this city can hear it and feel it, but so loud that the whole earth will shake with the praise and worship of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That makes me excited. To some, this may seem incredible, leading them to try to explain away any literal fulfillment. But we must remember that just as the ascent of Jesus was a miraculous event, so will be his second coming. We are no better equipped today to explain exactly how this will happen than were the disciples who viewed Jesus as he was taken up. But if you have the Holy Ghost, there's something inside of you that's saying, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Acts 1:9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. The dead in Christ shall rise first. When the Lord descends from heaven, the first people who will rise are the dead in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. The phrase in Christ used many times in the New Testament. An example, Romans 8:1, 12:5, 16:3. 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, in general, it refers to those who have believed and obeyed the experience of the new birth. The members of the body of Christ who have died before his coming will be resurrected and rise to meet him before those who are living at the time. Following the resurrection of the dead in Christ, those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. I can't wait to meet him. I mean, I want to be here for my wife, my kids, and all that good stuff. I ain't saying I'm ready to check out of here tomorrow. But my Lord, I'm excited about meeting him. This is usually referred to as the rapture because the Latin translation uses a form of the word rapturo, meaning to snatch or to take away, to render the Greek harpazo, which has the same meaning. The King James translates harpazo as caught up. We should encourage one another with this hope. All who are called up to meet the Lord in the air shall ever be with the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. If we could all stand. Nothing could have been more comforting than the promise of the coming of the Lord and eternal life with him. Rather than focusing on pain, let's focus on his soon coming back. On his love for us, him never leaving us, him never forsaking us, and us having a real hope in him. Lord Jesus, we thank you today that we have a real hope in you, Lord God, that no matter what this world does in our lives, Lord God, no matter what happens in our lives, Lord Jesus, you are our strength, you are our help, Lord God, and ever present help in times of trouble. You are our future hope, Lord God, and not just a future hope, Lord, but an ever present help and hope, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, we ask, Lord God, for your blessings, your anointing, your favor, Lord God, upon this service today, Lord. Let lives be impacted in this place today, Lord God. Touch every mind, every heart, every soul, Lord God, and let your spirit be poured out. And let your presence, Lord God, be manifested, Lord, through miracles, signs, and wonders. In Jesus' name, amen.